Blog Talk Radio.
Moses, Moses, lay your rod in that Red Sea. Lay your rod, let the children cross in that Red Sea. Pharaoh host God knows.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, friends and enemies. You're listening to Signs and Wonder, the broadcast that came right on time. I'm your host, Dawid Yaakov Maccabeus. Today is April 17th, 2011. As you know, next week is Easter. Okay? Now, think about this. April 24th. Is Easter. That's 6 days after the full moon, 5 days after the Babylonian Passover, which is the Passover that those that call themselves Jews celebrate. Okay? Now, question is, do any of these people follow Numbers 28:16? Where do the 14 days fit in? Okay? The only date that fits is April 2nd, 2011, because it is 14 days after the first month of the year, okay? Or 14 days of the first month of the year. Now, this is very important to understand, okay? Very important. Now, also, what does this mark? This marks the second month, because now that we have a full moon coming, that means that now it's another month. So now we're going into our second month. And this is very important, because when I start to speak about the calendars, all these dates will start to make sense. Okay? Now, of course, before I begin, I'm going to open in a word of prayer. And let me begin. Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Yahushua's precious name that you are with me during this broadcast. I thank you that you give me the ability to speak to your children. I ask that you just spread your spirit here today, Heavenly Father. I thank you for protecting my son yesterday. I thank you for healing his head, Heavenly Father. Oh, Father, I pray that you continue to just show your blessings. Keep my heart humble. Help me cry. Help me cry in your name, Heavenly Father. And I thank you. Bind and bound the demonic spirits that want to hinder. I pray this in the name of Yahushua's precious name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, y'all, I just had to get that prayer out there. All right, now yesterday was kind of crazy because I was writing the broadcast and trying to put some finishing touches on it and make sure it's a good broadcast. And I went out for a run, and then when I came home, my wife wasn't home. And what happened was my son fell out of the bed, top bunk bed, hit his head, and he got a concussion, and he's only 4 years old. So I was nervous and scared and praying, and he threw up and everything. So, you know, the devil is working overtime. And but the miracle is that he wasn't hurt. You know, I went to the hospital. You know what I mean? He stayed overnight. Everything was fine. The next day he's running around eating chocolate, asking for ice cream. So the Most High is with me, and I thank those that prayed. Okay, so let me get to the broadcast. Now, whenever we take on a study and new information is found, we must ask ourselves two very important questions. The first is this: does this information contradict my beliefs in the word, or I'm saying, does this information contradict my belief in the words of the Most High, or does this information strengthen my belief in the Most High? Now, if it strengthens, then we have to consider it. If it contradicts, then we have to take heed. Let me repeat that. If it strengthens your faith, then we have to consider it. If it contradicts, then we have to take heed. Okay? Now, let's think about the things we do know about the Word. Okay? At this moment of time, what are the things that we do know? We now understand that the Word has been manipulated to carry out the goals of those in power. What does this mean? Okay. What I'm saying is this. I'm saying that the destructive nature, okay, of imperialism, colonialism, and financial control has placed those in a position to change history and create the greatest lie known to mankind. This lie has permeated itself in education, politics, economics, justice, entertainment, heritage, and religion. This lie has created the most vicious form of mind control that only the truth of the Most High can destroy. This lie is vicious because it controls the mind. It bounds the soul and enslaves the spirit. This is why only the truth can make you free. And who and what is the truth? You see, the spirit of truth came through the promise. The spirit of truth was placed with the covenant. The spirit of truth is the comforter that was given to this world through the Messiah, who we know as Yahushua. Now, how do I identify the liar? Okay, this broadcast is the fathers, is fallen angels and the fathers of lies, right? So, how do we identify the liar? Well, the liar tells us that he did not exist, meaning Yahushua. The liars deny truth because the truth is not in them. Now, we know that this lie has been placed in front of the eyes of man. This lie has enslaved, manipulated, controlled us for thousands of years. So what was the purpose of this lie? Who is the father of lies? You see, these are the questions we have to ask ourselves today. Who are the fathers of lies? And what are they? Are they man, beast, or entities? Now, I understand, understand this, okay? Brothers and sisters, understand this, okay? If we have to argue over the truth, right? If we have to argue over the truth, then a lie has been told. If we have to argue over the truth, then a lie has been told. You see, we know for a fact that the synagogue of Satan is sitting in the seat of Yaakov. Okay? Now, I'm going to read Revelations 3:8. Now, I want you to listen to it now with new ears, knowing who the true Hebrews are. Listen to it with new ears. Revelations 3:8. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Okay? What is his name? Yahushua. Now, who is denying the name? Who is lying and telling us that Yahushua did not exist? Who is in the seat of Yaakov? Okay? Who's in the seat of Yaakov? And what does it say in Revelation 3:9? It says, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, right? Now, what is Jews? The seed of Yaakov. They say they are the seed of Yaakov, right? It says, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Okay. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Now, think about this. This message was to the covenant, to the last generation, the fig tree, to you, Hebrew. To you, Yaakov, the Most High says that, know that I love you. All right? You see, Ayah loves you. Why? We have an agreement, a covenant that will be fulfilled. And all the things that we went through was for a purpose. Understand this, brothers and sisters. The prophecy will be fulfilled. The seed of Yaakov was enslaved for a purpose. Okay. Now, look at the questions asked from our brother Jeremiah, the prophet. What does Jeremiah the prophet say? He says, is Yaakov a servant? Is he a home-born slave? Why is he spoiled? Do you know? We have asked the same question for the past 400 years. The same question that Jeremiah 2:14 asked. Okay, he's saying, is Yaakov a servant? Is he a home-born slave? Why is he spoiled? How many of those of the transatlantic slave trade asked the very same questions? You see, we are spoiled because of who we are. The slaves of the transatlantic was not allowed to read, so he did not know this fact. And if he could read, he was told never to speak of it. We truly are blind man groping in the dark, but now our eyes can see. Now we are beginning to understand who we are. The liar has taken advantage of our blindness. Now, I'm going to read the book of Deuteronomy, and I'm going to show you two things. One, we're going to see where the root of the deceiver was planted, okay? And two, we're going to see the birth of the covenant between Ayah and his special people. Between Ayah and his special people. And it reads, Deuteronomy 6:1-2. Then beware lest thou forget Ayah, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Most High, thy Yah, and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods, of the gods of the people who are round about you. Okay? It says, for the Most High, thy Yah, is a jealous Yah amongst you. Lest the anger of the Most High, thy Yah, be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Take heed. Ye shall not attempt the Most High. It will say, ye shall not tempt the Most High, thy Yah, as you tempted him in Mashah. Now, I'm reading this for a purpose because I want to bring you to this name here called Massah, M-A-S-S-A-H. Okay? Now, let's not overlook this verse, this last verse, because it's important. Okay? I'm going to tie something together with this. Do you know that this verse that I just read ties all of this together that I'm saying right now? Now, like my broadcast, you know, they'll make sense later. But, Let me read this again. It says, ye shall not tempt the Most High, thy Yah, as ye tempted him in Massah. Massah. Okay, now I'm going to read when this event took place, okay? Because now this is a very important time. And it says here, it says, this is from Exodus 17:1, and it says, and all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journey according to the commandment of the Most High, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink, right? Wherefore, the people did chide, all right, keep your mind on that word, chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Most High? And it says, and the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried out, and Moses cried unto Allah, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Most High said unto Moses, go up before the people, and take with thee out of the elders of Jacob, and the rod with thou smotest the river, take in thy hand, and go. Okay, all right? Now, this is speaking of the time when the children of Jacob first came out from bondage in Egypt. Okay? Now have patience, brothers and sisters. It's going to be phenomenal. Okay? They first came out of bondage from Egypt. Moses takes the elders because the elders are the heads of all the different tribes of Jacob. Okay? Because the elders chided, right? Is it the elders chided? The people chide. If the elders are chiding, the people are chiding because they're looking up to them. So this is why Moses takes all the elders out. Okay. Now, we're going to look at what this word chide means. Okay. And it says chide is Hebrews 7, 3, 7, 8. It says primitive root, properly to toss, that is grapple, mostly figurative, to wrangle, that is hold a controversy, implication, to defend, adversary, chide, complain, contend, debate, ever, lay, wait, plead, rebuke, strive thoroughly. Okay? Controversy. Okay, now, I want you to place this word into your wisdom, chide, because there's a lot going on here that many people do not understand. I hope after going through this, some of you will get it. Okay. Now, remember, there are two types of bondage, physical and spiritual. Physical and spiritual. Only Yahuwah can free us from the spiritual. So, understand, way back then, this plan was being laid out. Okay? There's actually a plan happening here. Now, I'm going to ask you to stay alert, okay, as I read this. And this is in Exodus 17:16. It says, behold, I, Allah, will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb. Now, remember, I was reading Horeb last 2 weeks, right? This is important now. On the rock in Horeb. And thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Jacob. Okay? Now, notice the rock is called Horeb, which means desolation. This is the rock of desolation, which is the rock of Sin. And Sin is also Mount Sinai. Okay? Now, keep this in your mind. I advise you to listen to my previous broadcast because this is going to tie everything together. Okay? Going to tie everything together. Remember, Horeb, desolation, Sinai, Sin. Now, Exodus 17:7, it says, and he called the name of the place Meshah. Okay, remember? I saw it Meshah. And Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel. Now, I'm going to use Israel here because it's for a purpose. And because they tempted the Most High, saying, is Yahuwah amongst us or not? So now they're questioning, right? Is Yahuwah amongst us or not? All right? Okay, now, as you can see, this name Mashah, M-A-S-S-A-H, is associated with the children of Jacob's chiding. So now we have three names associated to this area. The names are Mashah, Horab, and Sinai. Like I mentioned in an earlier broadcast, the original Hebrew names tell us the story. In the ancient Hebrew, the name was extremely important because it was a form of communication. Think about it. How do you think the Most High is communicating with the people of the covenant? How do you think the Most High is communicating with the people of the covenant? Now, once we know, okay, the name Jesus was changed, right? Once we knew that the name Jesus was changed, that it was actually Yahushua, right? We knew that Jesus was actually Yahushua. What did we find? We found Yah, right? We found Yah. Yahuwah, then Ayah. Because all these names start to reveal themselves as we start to understand. All of these names bring us closer and closer to the truth. Closer to the Most High. Now, here's something else to think about. Now, let's go back to this word sin. And remember, it says the rock of sin, the rock of desolation, right? This word is associated with Sinai, Horab, Misha. Okay, keep this in mind. We're going to look into the root of this word sin. But first, we're going to read Exodus 17. Okay? Keep following along, y'all. It's a slow process, but it's gonna reveal itself soon. Exodus 17:7, and it says, "And he called the name of the place Mashah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Jacob, and because they tempted the Most High, saying, 'Is Yahuwah among us or not?'" Exodus 17:8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Exodus 17:9. And Moses said unto Yahshua, "Choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek tomorrow. I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of Yahuwah in my hand." Exodus 17:10. So Yahshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Jacob prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Okay? Now, this was to show that Yahuwah is the power. And also to understand that this is not man who Moses is fighting here. Okay? These people, these Amaleks, this is not man who Moses is fighting. So the question is this, who are these beings? Exodus 17:12, it says, "But Moses' hands were heavy," okay? "Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun." That's an important key there also. Exodus 17:13. "And Yahshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword, the Most High said unto Moses, 'Write this for a memorial in the book and rehearse it in the ears of Yahushua.'" Okay? Now, what does he say? "For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven." Now, ask yourself this question. Do you remember Amalek? Do you, right now, remember Amalek? Now, if I'm telling you about Amalek, then his memory is still under heaven, correct? And if earth is under heaven, where is Amalek. You see, Amalek tried to wipe out the memory of Yaakov. This is why we have to understand this name, Israel. Okay? What is this name, Israel? What does it mean? Did Yaakov wrestle with a man, a God, a spirit? Are you 100% sure this being was the Most High? So who is sitting in the seat of Yaakov? Like I said, you need to stay alert. Are you elect or are you very elect? Now, Exodus 17:15. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Yahovah Nisi, which means Yahushua is my banner, or Ayah is my flag. That's what that means, okay? Exodus 17:16. For he said, because the Most High have sworn that Ayah will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Now, think about this. If this is the last generation, okay, then Revelation 3:9 should give us a whole new meaning. And it reads, it says, Revelation 3:9, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet. Okay? And to know that I loved thee. So this is telling us that the people who are calling themselves Jews are not the seed of Yaakov. Right? So, is this Amalek? If they're not the seed of Yaakov, are they Amalek? Okay? You see, it's really not that complicated. This is a war. The enemy is the Amalekites. This is why you were enslaved for 400 years. Why your name was wiped out of your memory. Why the Most High's name was taken out of scriptures. Why Yahushua was changed to Jesus. Why Hebrew became Yiddish. How black became white. We are at war. But like Moses and his staff, it is not us that fight. It is the Most High, Ayah. Why? Because we are signs and wonders. We are signs and wonders to express the truth of Ayah's word. Understand, victory is ours. But the time has come for us to choose which side we are truly on. Okay? Which side are we truly on? Now, I'm going to read Exodus 17:16. For he said, because the Most High have sworn that Ayah will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Okay? From generation to generation. Now, I'm going to read this from another book. Okay? This book is not well known. But it should be read. It's the Book of Jubilees, and it speaks about who this land called Israel really belongs to. And I will discuss how Amalek got hold of this land. Okay? I'm going to show you how Amalek actually got a hold of this land. All right, now, the Book of Jubilees, chapter 10, 29, 35, and it says, and hand, now, I'm just going to make a statement. For y'all that are listening to this, if you can comprehend this, it's a real treat because this is going to reveal some stuff, okay? It's going to reveal a lot of deceptions. Now, I'm going to read it. And before I continue, I want to make sure that people understand why I went through Mashal, Sinai, Horeb, and Sinite. These are the different words and names that I went through. They're all associated together because they all are actually speaking of an event and they're speaking of a people. And these things were actually hidden into the Word, but not hidden by the Most High per se, because we knew what they were back in the day. But now they are hidden from those that don't understand. So when they actually write this into the books, they don't actually know that what they're doing is they're giving us understanding. And the Most High has allowed me to actually see these things and see exactly what they mean. And I know you have that ability also. Okay? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the book of Jubilees, because now we're going to get to something real, real special. All right? And here it goes. It says, in the book of Jubilee, chapter 10, 29 through 35. And Ham and his sons went into the land which he was to occupy, which he acquired as his portion, in the land of the south. And Canaan saw the land of Lebanon to the river of Egypt, that it was very good. And he went into, okay, and he went not into the land of his inheritance to the west, that is to the sea, and he dwelt in the land of Lebanon, eastward and westward from the border of Jordan and from the border of the sea. Now, when you read the book of Jubilees, you will learn that Noah was concerned that his son would go to war over land. So while he was alive, he divided the land by portions between his three sons, which are Canaan. Okay? Okay, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. All right? Now, Ham's younger son, Canaan. Canaan did not want his land, so he took Shem's land. Okay? Canaan did not want his land, so he took Shem's land. Now listen to what is written about how Ham responded. Okay? And this is to continue. And Ham, his father, and Cush and Mithram. Now everybody knows that Mithram is Egypt, right? So now we got three black nations here. We have Cush, the Cushites, Ethiopians, right? And we have Mithram, the Egyptians, and then we have Canaan. Okay? Now Canaan took Shem's land. All right? And it reads, and Ham and his father and Cush and Mithram, his brother, said unto him, thou hast settled in a land which is not thine, and which did not fall to us by lot. Do not do so, for if thou doest do so, thou and thy sons will fall in the land and be accursed through sedition. Keep that word in mind now. Be accursed through sedition. For by sedition ye have settled, and by sedition will thy children fall, and thou shalt be rooted out forever. Listen to that. Forever. Dwell not in the dwelling of Shem, for to Shem, to his sons, did it come by their lot. Cursed art thou, and cursed shalt thou be beyond all the sons of Noah. By the curse by which we bound ourselves, by an oath, in the presence of the holy judge, and in the presence of Noah, our father. But he did not hearken unto them, okay, Canaan, he did not hearken unto them, and dwelt in the land of Lebanon from Hamath to entering of Egypt, he and his sons until this day. Okay, now this is when this was written. They're like, to this day. Now they don't know about the future prophecies. So they're writing this, and they're like, he did it to this day. Okay, and then they say, and for this reason, the land is named Canaan. All right, now we know why this land is named Canaan. He took it through sedition, right? Okay, now we should not overlook this very important fact here. This is a key. This is a key. This is telling us something very important. How many remember this verse in Genesis 15, 13 through 16? And it says, and he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Now, we know that the house of Jacob were in bondage for in 30 years, right, in Egypt, okay? They were in bondage for 130 years in Egypt because they lived in Egypt for a total of only 230 years, okay? Now, 80 of those years, Joseph ruled with Pharaoh. And 20 years, okay, in 20 years, they were at peace until a new king came to power. Now, we're talking about the transition to power. Now, this is important because this explains, you can read this in the book of Jubilees, okay? It actually explains everything that happened. Now, like I said, all this can be read in Jubilees. This is why we have to read all these books, you know what I'm saying? Now, when people make statements like we should not read the Apocrypha, you know, you're suffering from look. I call it look. L-O-K. What is that? Lack of knowledge. You're suffering from look. It's like a disease. You know what I'm saying? What people don't understand is it's mind control. Okay? All right? This is a form of mind control. We need to wake up. Now, I'm going to continue with Genesis 15:14. And also, okay, it goes, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. All right, now this is a prophecy talking about them coming out with great substance. Okay, now, has this happened? Have we came out with great substance yet? Unless you consider 4 acres and a mule a great substance. I don't. Now, Genesis 15:15. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation, thou shalt come hither again, for the iniquities of the Amorites is not yet full. Okay? Now, I come here to make a point. The Amorites are the sons of Canaan. Okay? Now remember, Canaan took Shem's portion. Who are Canaan's sons? His sons are Hittites, Amorites, Jebusites, Horites, and Sinites. Now keep this in mind. Sinites are the sons of Canaan. Think about this word sin. It is related to the word Sinites. Sin, the rock of desolation. Remember I was speaking about that rock? Sin, the rock of desolation. Sin is Sinai. Sinai is Horeb. Horeb also means desolation. Horeb is related to the word Mashah. Remember? M-A-S-S-A-H. Mashah. Mashah to chide, which has the word adversary. Within the word chide, it has the word adversary. Okay? Now, this will come together in a moment. All right, all going to come together in a moment, but this is all starting to connect. Exodus 17:1, it says, and all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journey according to the commandment of the Most High and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Okay, now think about this. Is there water in hell? You know? Now, we know hell is a metaphor. But we have to think about this metaphor. All right? Is there water in this hell? Remember? The water in the rock? Okay? Moses hit the rock with his staff and water came out. What is the staff? The power of the Most High. What is the mountain? The mountain is desolation. What is the mountain of desolation? Sin. Horeb. Who took over the brothers, the sons of Canaan? Amalek. Who's Amalek? The Amalekites. Who are the Amalekites? The seed of the serpent. I mean, there's a lot being said without being said, if you know what I'm talking about. No, I'm talking about. Okay. Okay, let me get serious now. Okay, now let me keep reading. It says in Exodus, and all, I'm gonna read that again. And all the children of the The congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after they journeyed according to the commandments of the Most High and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Okay? And like I said, is there water in hell? Now look at this word here. Sin and Rephidim. These words. It says Sin and Rephidim. Now remember, Rephidim are the children of the Nephilim, the watchers. All right? Remember? In Exodus 17:7, we're going to read, it says, and he called the name of the place Meshah and Meribah because of the chiding, okay? What is the chiding? The adversary, the complaining, who's chiding? Of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Most High, saying, is Yahuwah among us or not? Now, here's a question. What spirit was dwelling around the rock of Sin? Now, if you're paying attention, you will see that the fallen entities are here. They're at this place. They have taken possession, okay, through the sons of Canaan. Okay, C-A-N-A-A-N. Not K-I-N-I-T. Not Kenite, but Canaan. The sons of Ham. They have taken possession through the sons of Canaan. Because he took the portion of the land that was not his. Okay? Now, if you can comprehend this, a lot of this is starting to come together based on the prophecies. Now, but we have to read Jubilees to understand the prophecies. A lot of people don't understand that in order to put this together, we need all of the information. And we don't have all the information because we reject the information. Okay? We reject it. Now, the Amorites, Horites, Hittites, Jebusites, and Sinites were taken over by the Amalekites, the demonic spirits of the fallen ones. They dwelt within these people. The Hyksos from the north became the Amalekites, who became the Amorites. Okay? Now, let's look at the Jubilees one more time. Now, listen now. All I'm doing is repeating what the word is saying. Okay? You can either agree with this or not. But before you disagree, do your own research. Then disagree with me. But first you research, and you will not disagree because it's all there. Okay, now what does it say in Jubilees? It says, thou hast settled in the land which is not thine, and which did not fall to us by lot. Do not do so, for if thou doest do so, thou and thy sons will fall in the land and be accursed through sedition. For by sedition ye have settled, and by sedition will the children fall, and thou shalt be rooted out forever. Dwell not in the dwelling of Shem. They're telling Ham's telling his son Canaan, dwell not in the dwelling of Shem. For to Shem and to his sons did it come by their lot. Because Noah gave this to him. Ham is like, look, I'm respecting my father. Look, grandson Canaan, listen to what your grandfather said. Do not take Shem's land. It's not your lot. But he took it, right? Now, please do not overlook this. Please do not overlook this. This is a very important fact. Because many believe that the Hebrews just killed all of the people in the land of Canaan and took the land because Yah said to do it. This is a story that they say. Why is he going there just killing all these people people in the land? Why is he just killing all these fallen? What's going on? Okay? Now you see, what we have been told is the story of the liar. Here's the fact. The fact is, Shem was without land. See, if Ham took Shem's land, where is he going to go? He don't have nowhere to go. Why? Because Canaan stole it through sedition. Now, what is this word sedition? Sedition, the crime of creating a revolt, disturbance, or violence against lawful civil authority with the intent to cause its overthrow or destruction. So, who carried out this sedition? Remember, they said, you do this by sedition, sedition will happen to you, right? So who rooted out the sons of Canaan forever? Who rooted out the sons of Canaan forever? Could it be the Amalekites? Okay? Order out of chaos, the mark of the beast. Order out of chaos, the mark of the beast. Okay, now, I hope y'all understand it, because this is going to lead into explaining about the slave trade and why the slave trade happened. And everything is going to blend here. But remember, Canaan's, you know, we've heard that Canaan is cursed to be enslaved. But there's a lot more to this story. A lot more to the story. Okay, now, what we're going to do is we're going to look at the effects of this lie in history. Okay? We're going to look at the effects of this lie in history. Now, remember what they said about slavery. The Pope, at the time, the father of all Christians, okay, the highest Christian in the land, he made a decree in 1452 and in 1454, okay, he made two decrees in 1452 and then 1454, which was first pushed by what? Portugal. Remember Portugal? Yeah, country. Portugal is now, you know, on the verge of bankruptcy. It's about to collapse. Okay. Now, what did the slave traders do? What did they do? They justified the enslavement of the Hebrews of the seed of Jacob by using what? They used the book of Genesis 9. In Genesis 9, what does it say? It says, and he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. Now remember, Ham ridiculed his father and his son. Remember Ham, right? Ham ridiculed his father Noah, right? But his son Cain took on the curse. Remember that now. Ham ridiculed Noah because he showed his father's nakedness and all that. And then Noah cursed him, but he said, your son's going to be cursed, right? Now in Genesis 9:26, it says, and he said, blessed be the Most High Yah of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. All right. Now remember now, this is the birth of slavery. This is to justify slavery. They're saying from this verse, and he said, blessed be the Most High Yah of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. Now, many people do not know how to read this verse. This verse is speaking about servitude between Shem and Canaan only. All right? It's between Shem and Canaan only. This is extremely important to comprehend. Okay, extremely important to comprehend, because this is a prophecy that explains Jubilee 10:28-32. Canaan was in a land that was not his. He took Shem's land by sedition. What happened? He committed a crime, so he was taken by sedition by the Hyksos. The Hyksos, right? The Hyksos, who are the Amalekites, settled in the land of Israel. The Amalekites are the seed of the fallen angels, the Anunnaki, Raphaim, and the giants, okay, and the Phelium. This was crime versus crime. Now, let's read the book of Yahshua to see how Canaan became the servants of Shem. All right, remember now, there's a prophecy. Said Canaan will be the servants of Shem. Why? Because Canaan took Shem's land. So if you go to war, what happens? When you defeat the weaker party, what happens when you defeat the weaker party? When you defeat the weaker party, that stronger party enslaves the weaker party. Canaan is in the land of Shem, right? Now we're going to read Yahshua 9:3, and it says, "And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Yahshua had done unto Jericho, to Ai," Yahshua 9:4, "they did work willingly, and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses, and wine bottles, old and rent, and bound up, and old shoes and clothed upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dried and moldy. And they went to Yahshua unto the camp of Gilgal, and said unto him, and to the men of Jacob, We be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us, or make thee a league with us." In Yahshua 9:7 it says, "And the men of Jacob said unto the Hivites," now understand, the Hivites, this is key, because the Canaanites, the Hivites are sons of Canaan. This is important because now we're talking about the enslavement. Now I'm reading from the book of Joshua 9:3, and of course I say Yahshua because that's his real name, Yahshua. All right, now it continues. It says, "And the men of Jacob said unto the Hivites, Preadventure, ye dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you?" Right? Now, this is, they're asking, how shall we make a league with you? And what do they say? "And they said unto Jacob," and who's Jacob? When they're talking about everybody, the children of Jacob, whom we are calling Israel now out of ignorance because we don't understand how to read scriptures, but that's okay. "And they said unto Jacob, We are thy servants. And Yahushua said unto them, Who are ye? And from whence come ye? And they said unto him, From a very far country. Thy servants are come because of the name of the Most High, thy Yah. For we have heard the fame of him, and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites." Remember, this is their brother, the Amorites, that were bound, that beyond Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, which was at Ashtoreth. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country speak to us, saying, Take victuals with you for the country, and go to meet them, and say unto them, We are your servants, therefore now make ye a league with us. Okay? Now, this is important. We are your servants, therefore, now make ye a league with us. So they're talking about the slave trade, but this happened already thousands of years ago. But they're using this verse to justify slavery because they don't know how to read scriptures. They don't understand the events that are actually happening. Brothers and sisters, I wish you can just comprehend this. This is important because going forward, it's about a prophecy that's going to be fulfilled. You know what I'm saying? We are identifying the deceiver. We are identifying the Amalekites today. All right? Now, and it reads, okay, I almost lost track. Now, I read this chapter to bring your attention to the fact that the sons of Canaan, through the bloodline of the Hivites, were spared by Yahshua. Okay? They were spared by Yahshua. Now, when this happened, this fulfilled the prophecy in Genesis 9:26. Now, what does the prophecy say? "And he said, Blessed be the Most High, thy Yah of Shem, and Canaan shall be thy servant." Okay? Now, let's look at Genesis 9:27. It goes, remember, he said, "Blessed be the Most High, Yah of Shem, and Canaan shall be thy servant. Yahushua shall enlarge Japheth." Now, this is another prophecy. Right after, it says, "Yahushua shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servants." So what is this telling you? This is telling you that the Amalekites are going to front as Jacob, and they are going to enslave Canaan. Okay? They enslaved Canaan, Egypt, Cush, anything that was black. They enslaved it, basically. But understand what this is telling us. This is telling us here now. This is thousand-year-old prophecy telling us that Yahushua shall enlarge Yasset, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. Okay? Now, when did this happen? Who was at this moment dwelling in the tents of Shem? I'm talking about right now. Who is Yafet? What race of people benefited from the slave trade? Which race of people benefited from the slave trade? Are the Portuguese or Spanish people, are they Shem or Japheth? Which one are they? Do they fall in the line of Shem or Japheth? Are they the seed of Yaakov? Is Portuguese and Spanish and English and America, all these people, are they the seed of Yaakov? How many popes were there? How many Hebrew popes were there? I don't know many. Probably maybe one or two, but how many Hebrew popes were there? How many British kings were Hebrews? Are these people of the line of Japheth? Now, have you ever heard of Germany? How about the Ashkenazi Jews? How about the British Israelites? How about the Rothschilds? How about Zionism? Now, could these people fit Genesis 9:27? It says, Yahushua shall enlarge Yafet, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. Okay? You see, as long as these people are in the tents of Shem, Shem, Abraham, Isaac, Yaakov, the Hebrews, as long as these people are fronting in the tents of Shem, this world is enslaved. All of us. This world, all of us. Okay? Now look at what the IMF, the World Bank, are doing. What are they doing to Iceland, Ireland, Greece, Germany, Spain, Africa, South America, North America? The world is enslaved. Debt. World banks, everybody, just turn on the news. They're talking about destroying the dollar now, putting us all into one global system. Why is this happening? Because they're dwelling in the tents of Shem. They are dwelling in the tents of Shem. Okay? Understand. The Most High will show signs and wonders once again to let his people go. All right? He's going to show signs and wonders again to let his people go. All right? Now we're going to take a look at Deuteronomy 6:21. And the Yahuwah and Yah showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his house before our eyes. Deuteronomy 6:23. And he brought us out from thence, and he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. Okay. Now, can you see all of the pieces coming together? The liar is the Amalekites, the seed of the serpent. The signs and the wonders are the gifts to this world to let it know Yah is real. Okay? The signs and wonders are the gifts to this world to let it know Yah is real. The liar works night and day to deceive this world. Now, here's another question. Is Israel the name of the Most High? How many remember this verse? It says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked sin and will heal, turn from their wicked sin and will heal their land. Okay? The Most High will hear from heaven and will forgive of us of sin, and he will heal the land. What's the land? The land which was first taken by Canaan and then usurped by the Amalekites. Now, Shem is front. Shem is in the tents. Shem is front. Japheth is front. He is now in the tents of Shem. So now that the land needs to be healed. He got a powerful people that are right now in this land. And only the Most High can uproot these thieves, these liars. You know what I'm talking about. Now, when I first heard this spoken, it was by Farrakhan. He said this a few years ago. I did not know who I was then, but now this verse has a whole new meaning to me. Can you really comprehend this verse? If my people, Allah has a special people, the covenant of the seed of Yaakov, which are called by my name. Do you know this word call means to pronounce? And this word name means marked. I don't think y'all heard me. He said that are called by my name. Call means to pronounce. This word name means marked. Okay? So we are marked by the Most High. The Most High, his name, will be pronounced through his people who are signs and wonders. So it's saying if we humble ourselves, pray, and seek the wisdom of Allah, if we seek the wisdom of Allah, his face, if we turn away from our wickedness, if we do this, what does it say? Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, understand, I call this broadcast, my broadcast that I do, Signs and Wonders. Okay? And I do it for this purpose. Because it's the broadcast that came right on time. Signs and Wonders. You know? We got brothers like Aminadab. We got a brother, Fortune 500, that's going to be doing his own show. We got Georgia, Mama Bees. You know what I'm talking about? We got Seth coming up. We have the Kofa Network. I mean, it is exploding, y'all. It's going to be unstoppable soon. It's unstoppable now. And they are scared to death. Because we are calling upon the name of the Most High. And we are the signs and wonders. Pretty soon, you are going to be grabbed by the Caucasian. And he's going to be like, brother, I did not know who you were. Can you please just talk to me for a moment? Because the scales are going to be wiped from their eyes and they are going to see who we truly are. They are going to know that we are the signs and wonders. There is no denying that those people in Israel are not Yaakov. It says it right here in prophecy, Genesis 9:27, that they will dwell in the tents of Shem. Who is Shem? Shem. Abraham. Isaac. Yaakov. Yaakov, the seed of Yaakov, the Hebrews, the black people, people of color. you, brother. Whoo! Okay. Now, I get goosebumps just thinking about that, y'all. We got the power. The victory is ours. It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. All right, now, for the rest of this broadcast, I'm going to speak on the fallen angels and the fathers of lies. I felt in my spirit to do this broadcast for one reason, and that is to wake up the seed of Yaakov. A lot of us do not want to face a very simple reality, okay? The reality of the demonic being. Now understand this. This broadcast is not for kids, okay? It's time for us to grow up and face this reality. There are fallen beings on this earth. You can call them demons, ghosts, spirits, angels, jinns, aliens, entities, greys, lizards, or creatures from the fourth dimension. Whatever you feel comfortable calling them, call it. But just know that they do exist. Because their power is in telling you that they do not exist. Now, I'm going to play a few audio clips to lead into my next subject. A few weeks ago, I mean, like 2 weeks back, okay, I mentioned an interview that I heard with the son of Oliver Stone. Y'all know Oliver Stone. He made the movie JFK and all that stuff, right? Okay. Well, his son spake about his experience with the spirit world. Okay? So, I want to play these clips to expose the reality in which we face today. Okay? It's the reality in which we face today. All of this can be found in scriptures. But many want to deny this. And to those that deny this, you need to dig deep into your spirit and find out why. Why do I deny this? Okay? Now, this first clip is 6 minutes and 27 seconds long. So I'm going to play it. Then after I play it, I'm going to comment on it. Okay? So let me find this clip. And here it is. Okay, listen.
And 11 Transmission, we've got Sean Stone joining us, a guy who's got more film roles and cameos than Alfred Hitchcock, and is also a producer and director in his own right. He's got a new film coming out very, very soon about his personal experiences investigating. Well, we're going to get into it in a moment. But then in the second half of the interview with him, or the last two-thirds, we've got two of his associates joining us, Alexander Rafe, who's involved in the new film, but also we're going to have Jeff Steinberg, who really needs no introduction. He's somebody who's confronted the Bush people and others on their banking scams, on the death panels. He, of course, some of their more socialistic type solutions. But that said, we'll get more into that coming up in the next hour. This is going to be an intriguing interview because it's covering a wide spectrum of ideas. Tell us about your new film that's coming out that deals with your own personal experiences and what led you in these investigations to have these experiences, Sean Stone.
In fact, as you said about the Grove, Bohemian Grove, you'd heard stories and you wanted to confirm it for yourself. And it was very similar in my case. What happened was I was at dinner in late 2009. My father was shooting Wall Street 2. And so I was visiting New York for the week and did a little cameo one day role. And I was having dinner with him that night and a young man named Alexander Rafe, who I'd never met before. And the guy was full of energy. He's a young actor and, you know, writing scripts, and, you know, he wants to make movies, and he's telling me these stories about, you know, breaking into the mental hospitals, you know, various abandoned mental hospitals, and obviously New York and Jersey, they're full of them. So there was one in particular that he said, this place is amazing, it's called Greystone, and it was the biggest foundation until they built the Pentagon. It was built back in the 1870s or 80s, in that sort of the height of the mental health craze when they were building up all these asylums and trying to lock, you know, people away who were mentally unsound.
So a labyrinthine sprawling complex.
Exactly. Labyrinthine is exactly the way it was put to me. And very, you know, it was like The Shining. He described it. It's The Shining. You go in there and it changes every time. It warps. There's something to it that, you know, it's sort of a mystery and wrapped in a riddle inside of an enigma. So I said, all right, well, it sounds cool. I always wanted to go on a ghost hunt. Let's go, you know, let's go on a ghost hunt. And next thing I knew, the next night we were, and that's when he realized, you know, oh no, we really are in trouble. So we started running out, and we get to we found a door that was open, but there was a chair positioned right in front of the door. So it was as though if we had trampled on the chair, we would have created a loud noise. So he jumps over the chair, pushes through, and we get outside and we get back to the car. And we pull away and we think, okay, it's over and that's a great experience and we're going to start writing a script about it. But what's really strange is the Satanist thing. I think there were Satanists there that night.
Because yeah, no, let me stop you. That's exactly what I was about to say, and I hadn't gone through the story with you yet, is that it could have been them dressed up inside of there and he saw somebody in the dark and then the footsteps you heard were people.
Yeah, it's a very interesting thing because what happens is the following night, I go back to Los Angeles, and Alex has a man standing outside of his window.
That's Alex Wraith.
Yeah, he has a man outside of his house in a hood, like basically like a hood. It looks, and we can.
Well, this almost sounds like gang stalking or something. Have you heard of that?
It is. It actually is, because he proceeded to have these guys out of his window.
Well, see, no, but let me stop you. Nobody would believe this, but Ventura doesn't want to get into it. Tyrell, who I think you know, doesn't want to get into it, but the harassment and stuff, the guys in suits breaking in, facilities getting broken into, the threats, the CIA trying to mess with them, and basically that's part of CIA mind control, is they'll put somebody on PCP, bring them to, dressed up in devil outfits to freak them out. I mean, that's what this kind of sounds like. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, because it was definitely Satanist Duke consort there, and I mean Alex has told me experiences where he's been to a couple of these mental hospitals, and they're trying to conjure demons. That's very clear, and so
they believe because of the negativity, and I've seen mainline news reports on this that Satanists are always breaking into them because they believe the negativity will help them get this power.
Yeah, it has to do with, there's a mixture of things. It might be part of the energy that's been created in this location. It's been trapped there, obviously, as you said. Yeah, it's a very negative location because of the history of it, the amount of pain, suffering. Also, don't forget that if these patients did bring any demons, so let's say that these patients were haunted by shadows, things from the sort of fourth dimension and beyond, right? If they had these shadows on them and talking to them as they whisper in your ear, I mean, this is known as the jinn, and the Arabs are very clear. And
every culture, yeah.
Yeah, and the jinn is very real to the Arab. You talk to them with any person from Arabia to Iran to Lebanon, and, you know, you say jinn, they freak out. It's not a joke. To us demons, we laugh, but it's taken very seriously. So if these people did have these sort of jinn shadow things, as paranormal activity showed the shadow pretty clearly, that's what a shadow would be. It's you don't really see much of a substance. It's just a vapor. Then these shadows are talking to them, and then these people come, and they're locked inside of a mental hospital. Now, let's say they die there, or they leave there, and the shadow stays on. The shadows are now like almost like consort.
So that's the theory: is it becomes like a ghost yard of ghosts, almost like, you know, pirate ships kind of gathering at a secret island. It becomes like a graveyard for ghosts.
Indeed, exactly. A ground, like you've created a portal in a sense, you know, like Ghostbusters time. But you've created,
and then the researchers think that attracts more. You know, I never get into things like this on air, even though everybody's got stories. I mean, I've had a few experiences in my life. My mother has, especially at our home place out in East Texas. Everybody talks about it. And it's certain places, especially prisons, things like that. We'll be right back.
Okay. Now, I know that was a long clip, but I wanted to play it so you can actually hear the interaction between Alex Jones and also Seth Stone, because you can hear it in his voice that he's not making this up. And and I also wanted to bring your attention to what they spoke about. They spoke about Satanists. Okay, now keep this in mind. Satan is just a label. Names like Satan and Lucifer are part of the deception. If you research this name Lucifer and associate it with the book of Isaiah, you will find another deception that caused many of us to stumble. Okay? But this is not the time for that broadcast. I hope I will speak on this at another time. Okay? What I want you to pay attention to is this. Now, did you hear him speak about the portals? Okay? They talk about the portals. Okay? Now, I'm going to play the next clip. And this one is only 2 minutes and 56 seconds. All right? This is a little bit shorter than the last one. And this clip, like I said, is going to get into why I actually played this clip. Okay? And let me find it here. Make sure everything is loaded up. Okay, clip 2. All right, now listen to this.
Now you got interrupted by the break. You were getting into Bohemian Grove. Skull and Bones, admitted worship of Lucifer. The elites obsessed with numerology, voodoo. I even heard, of all people, Michael Savage saying yesterday, he wasn't joking, he believes the royal family's into the occult. Multiple British prime ministers, Tony Blair's in major newspapers, being possessed by a spirit, flopping around the ground. His wife's a witch. I mean, this is mainstream news, folks. Just Google Tony Blair, the occult. You'll get all the mainstream news. They are into this. Why do people in power positions, why so often are they, Hitler, you name it, obsessed with the occult?
I think it's clear. I think it's biblical. Think about the fallen angels in the book of Enoch. The concept that, you know, when Lucifer and the army of the fallen come to earth, they become the so-called watchers. They come to copulate with female women and to teach man the mysteries, to teach him the teach him magic, to teach him metallurgy, to teach him the crafts of, you know, for warfare and for politics. They are the various civilizations of old talk about these gods who give them the information for agriculture, for example, right? The great solar teachers, the great white Anki, for example, or the sun god of the Mayans and these various cultures. They're all gods, right? So imagine that they're not, it's not about alien or not, it's just something of a higher order, of a demonic sort or angelic, perhaps, in its positive aspects, but in its negative aspects, it's demonic. And if these fallen are separated from God and they are the rulers of this earth, the secret rulers, the shadow rulers, that makes more sense to me in terms of conspiracy, because the conspiracy is so far reaching and ongoing. How can you maintain this? People ask over centuries and bloodlines. Why do bloodlines maintain their power and their interest? I mean, I know certain people, certain families that tell me, oh, if your money doesn't go back to pre-1400, you're nouveau riche.
Now
think about that. I mean, what kind of world do we actually live in? I mean, most of us really live blind and in this kind of existential crisis day to day. That's the way that we're meant to live.
And nobody's more blind than the atheist.
And no one is more blind than the atheist. That's very true. Because faith is the one thing that kept me alive, I'm sure, throughout this entire journey into that realm, was the pure faith, you know, in God and trust in Him, and, you know, His words, Christ's words, I was invoked, because ultimately I know that protected me in the very dark times from very scary things that happened and very malevolent people.
Yeah, well, you also come from a powerful family, and that attracts this type of stuff as well. We'll be right back. Like for like, birds of a feather fly together. Sean Stone's our guest. Stay with us. Alex Wraith joining us as well. Hello, friends. This is Alex Jones.
Okay. All right. That's good old Alex Jones. You know, I've been listening to that guy. I think I mentioned this before. I remember seeing the first clip of him back in 99. He had this little, he was like the first videos that were like floating on the web. And he was always talking about conspiracies and stuff, you know. Now, I'm still trying to wonder, is Alex Jones friend or foe? You know, because there's a lot of things that he did that actually helped a lot. Because, you know, I know when them flu shots were going around, he was warning about that and the fluoride, a lot of things. But he always seems to lead us in a direction where we don't see the Jews as the usurpers of the people. And I think mainly he's just ignorant of it. Okay, well, let me get back to this. That's another subject. Now, in this clip, I hope you picked up on a few things. Now, did you hear Seth Stone speak about the fallen angels? Now, if this child, if this young man, the son of Oliver Stone, is speaking about the fallen angels, and he is correctly putting this together, okay, then ladies and gentlemen, this understanding is now mainstream. Okay, you don't get no more mainstream than Alex Jones. And if you are still in denial, you really need to do better research. Now, I know that most of us know what time it is, but some of us don't get it. And I'm sorry, but there was a being in the garden. The seed of the serpent is real. All you need to do is look around you. Okay? Now, did you also notice, like I said, when he came to the conclusion that these spirits are the New World Order? Remember, he said that in order for this plan to last centuries, then it makes sense that these demonic beings are being these demonic beings are behind the scenes pulling the strings. Right? This is what he says. Now this is Oliver Stone's son. He got scared, and he was thinking about it. They must be behind the scenes pulling the strings. I knew this a long time ago. I knew this back in the early 90s, you know what I'm saying? I was born knowing this stuff. But I put it together a long time ago. But it's now people are starting to put it together. Why? Because we're coming across a time when these things are being revealed to the world. But there's a purpose to this. Think about it. What are the beings behind the scenes? Who are these beings pulling the strings? Think about the Bohemia Grove, Skull and Bones, CFR, Bilderbergs, Trilateral Commission, Masonry, Illuminati, Rosicrucians, Jesuits, Catholicism, Kabbalah, and on and on and on. I mean, I know about these things. I'll mention them. They're mainstream now. Why do we think there's so many of these secret societies? You know, we have to ask ourselves the question, is this world better off because of the secret societies? Is it better off because of the CFR, the Trilateral Commission, Bilderberg, Skull and Bones? Is this world better off because of these things? Have they made this planet a paradise, or have they made this planet hell? Well, if you think it's paradise, then you need to visit the rest of our planet. Need to ask the other 6.9 billion people if their world is paradise or hell. We must understand that there are forces at work that will no longer exist if we just knew that they existed. Our ignorance is their power. Think about this. At this moment in time, I am the most powerful man on the planet. Why? Because I am telling you who you are. You have the spirit of the Most High in you. The creator of the universe dwells in you. And you don't even know it. You are a spiritual being chosen by the Most High. You have the power to break the bonds of these false gods. If the spirit of Yah is in us, then who can be against us? Let me repeat that. If the spirit of Yah is in us, then who can be against us? We are Yah's possession. And if we are a part of Yah, the Father, Ayah, then we have the power of Ayah. This is the mystery. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You see, he is already with us. All we need to do is humble ourselves. If we just humble ourselves, we will find out who we are. Okay? Now, I'm going to read the book of Genesis. And we're going to get a little bit more knowledge here. It says, and it came to pass, right? We're going to talk about these beings that I just spoke about. And it says, and it came to pass, when man began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of Yah saw the daughters of men, and they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Most High said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of Yah came in unto the daughters of man, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And Yah saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Okay? Is only evil continually. Now, one thing to place in your wisdom is this. When you break this word down to its root, you get a few revelations. Now I'm going to break down this word giant, okay? Because it's going to talk to us now. It's going to talk to us. What is this word giant? What does it mean? It means Nephilia, right? It's called Nephila. And it says from Hebrews 5:3-0-3. All right, I'm checking my time now. Okay, I'm doing good in time. Hebrews 5:3-0-3, and it says, properly, a filler, that is a bully, a tyrant, a giant, right? This we look at the prime root, okay? We're going to look at the prime root of the word to get a deeper meaning, because, you know, there's always a word that represents the word. And what does it say? We see this word tells us to look at Hebrews 5:3-0-7. And it's called Nafel, and this is Nafel, a prime root. And what does it mean? It means to fall in a great variety of applications, instinctively or casuistically, literally or figuratively. Be accepted, cast down, self, lot out, cease, die, divide by lot, let, fail. Now, this is all from this word, Nathal, okay? Giants. It means bully, tyrant. Also, it means to fall, okay? It means to accept, cast down. Cast, die, divide by lot. Divide by lot, let fall. All right, right there, this is telling you that there was a decision by lot, meaning that this was not just something that came out of the blue. Okay, this is why there's reading. This is why the judgment. This is why we have the judgment. Now we're also going to read. Nephal also means cause to let make ready, fall away, downing, falling. Also fugitive. It means fugitive, have inheritance, inferior, be judged. Also the word be judged is in this word. Everybody knows about the judgment. And then it says by mistake for H6419. So it's telling us to reference 619. But before we do, it continues to say lay among, cause to lie down, light down, be lost, lying, overthrown, overwhelmed, perish, present, make to rot, slay, smite, out, surely throw down. That was a lot for that word, the fill. This is the filium. I mean, it gives you so much information that you'd be like, okay, so this is telling me something. Now, here's where we get the tree, okay? Because we're going to break this down into the ancient Hebrew when I use the characters, right? Now, when you compare this word to the ancient Hebrew, we get the Hebrew letters Nun, Pay, P-A-Y, Pay, and Lamed, L-A-M-E-D. Okay, these are like the words that the Babylonians told us how to say it. So I don't even know if that's how they pronounce, which they probably ain't, because they lied about every other thing. So you know they lied about that. But in order to associate it, it's Nun, Pay, and Lamed, right? Nun, which is the sea. Okay, that's what Nun means. Now, remember Nun. Now, this is in the Hebrew characters. I always do this because this is like deeper knowledge. Now, Nun, which is the seed. So this is, what does seed mean? It's to continue, hair, sun. So this is telling us that Nun is sperm, the sperm seed. So the sperm seed is associated with the philium, hair, sun, continue, right? Now, this is telling us about the offspring. What is the next word? Pay. Remember, this is coming from the word Nephilim. Pay, which is the mouth. So this is to blow, scatter, edge, all right? Divide, scatter, right? This is from the next words, pay. And it says, so basically this is speaking about dividing, scattering, and what? Rebellion, right? It's talking about the rebellion. This is in the ancient Hebrew. It's breaking it down for us in the ancient Hebrew based on the characters. Nun, Pay, Rebellion, Scatter, Seed, Sperma, right? Now, the last letter is called Lamed, which is the staff. So this is, what is the word? It says, teach, yoke, to bind, all right? So this is telling us that they taught and bound themselves to man. Demonic spirits have no bodies. They bind themselves to man. They teach man. They yoke man. The occult. Secret societies. Alright? Now, we're going to take a look at the last word. This last word is called Nephel. Now, this is a word that is also referenced and associated with Nephilim. And it's Hebrews 6:4-9. And it's called Phal. P-A-W-I-A-L. Phal. A prime root. And what does it mean? To judge. Okay? Officially or mentally. By extension, to intercede, pray, entreat, judgment, make pray, praying, make supplication. Now, bring your attention to this word, phal, fall, what I just said. Fall, P-H-L, phal, it sounds like the word fall. The English word fall sounds like this, phal. All right, what does it mean? It means to judge or judgment. Now, think about that. Also, this word in the ancient is double yoke or scatter. So this word, when you break this down to its Hebrew characters, it actually has two words that represent the yoking. But there's double yokes and it's the scatter. Now, I know that's a little bit confusing what I'm saying, but those words actually mean yoking and scattering at the same, okay? So it basically it says, the watchers that were supposed to watch over man, right? They now have scattered, cohabited, and destroyed man. Now they must be judged. Okay? What if this is the whole point? What if we're all alive today because of this point? Why do I say this? Now, do you think the Most High knew his creation? Do you think the Most High knew his creation? Was this world created for us or was it created for them? How many of us truly understand judgment? Who can stand against the wisdom of the Most High? Who can stand against the wisdom of the Most High? The point I'm trying to make is that of course, the Most High knew the future. He knew that these watchers were going to rebel. Look, my son can't do anything that I don't know he's going to do. I know him. I know him more than he knows himself. He's only 5 years old. I have the wisdom to know my child. And any one of you out there who have children, understand where I'm coming from. You know your child. So So, of course, the Most High knows his creation. He's the creator of wisdom. Right? So you know he knew this was going to happen. So let me repeat this again. How many of us truly understand judgment? Who can stand against the wisdom of the Most High? Genesis 3:4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for Yah doeth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, think. Is this part of the judgment? Okay. Now I'm going to read some. This is from Hebrews 13:1. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which are suffer adversary as being yourself also in the body. Now think about this. If we cannot tell the difference between an angel and a man, then how can we stand in the wisdom of the Most High? I say this to those that are confused about the Nephilim. The Nephilim exist because they are supposed to. Now, instead of denying this fact, maybe we should find out why. Okay? Now, in closing, I have one more statement to make. When I first started doing research on the connection between the transatlantic slave trade and the Hebrews, I came across many sites that spoke about the ancient Hebrews, okay? But they did not do this. They did not do this without, what I'm saying is they spoke about the ancient Hebrews, right? But they did this without even mentioning the Sidi Yaakov, all right? Now, I'm going to change this up just a little bit, but it's still in content. The reason why it's in content, because, look, the people that are speaking to you right now are chosen by the Most High, not because we are some wonderful people, because we are some stiff necks. I mean, I had a conversation with some brothers the other day, and we concluded that we need to start a Hebrew council with those that have the right frame of mind, the ones that understand that they must be humble in order for the Most High to hear them. Do you know what humble means? It means you do not yell out there on the street calling white people the slaves. Humble means that if a brother is wrong, you do not deface him on Facebook. You correct that brother and accept him and help him grow. Humble means when a brother calls you up and gets the name of the Most High wrong, you do not criticize him and turn him away because he is ignorant. Humble means you humble yourself and you love that brother. And you help him grow up and be the man that the Most High has chosen to be. If you are awakened to this knowledge, the only thing your ass is supposed to do is help your brother get to the same level that you are. Not that you are supposed to be above your brother, but look at your brother in his eyes and help him understand who he is. That's the point. Now we need to wake up. Understand that only you are going to stand in front of the Most High. Not me, you. All right, now I'm sorry for going off a little bit there, but let me say something. Now, when I first started coming into this walk, okay, all right, there's a couple Caucasians out there. All right, I'm just going to put it out there now. This is usually the Caucasian persuasion. I hope y'all listen to me, and I hope you take heed to what I'm going to say. Now, they discovered the name of Yahushua and Yahuwah. But when they discovered the name of Yahuwah and Yahshua, they seemed to overlook the Hebrew. Okay? They find all of the ancient names and filter out the Dead Sea Scrolls, but can care less about the crime. Y'all know what the crime was. Who's in the city of Yaakov? You see, they care less about the crime. It's as if they want the Messiah, but they don't want his heritage. They want Yahuwah, but do not want to overstep. They want to overstep the covenant. You know what I'm saying? It's like they want Yahuwah, but they don't want the covenant. Now, I know this is deliberate, because if you do not know who the people are, then you will not understand the story. Right? I hope I ain't confusing y'all out there now. You can't be like Yahushua, Yahuwah, and digging into the word and then just ignore the fact that the Hebrews of the tribe of Yaakov are people of color. You can't be preaching all this and have a site out there preaching about how the Most High is Yahuwah and Yahushua, dressing up in your rabbinic clothing with your little hat on, trying to front. You know what I'm saying? Don't you know the prophecy says that Japheth will be in the tents of Shem? Are you going to ignore that prophecy by ignoring his seed, giving us the proper names, but yet not acknowledging the proper people? Right? Now, my question is, are these people friends or foes? Are these people angels or demons? Because you cannot get to the Father unless you go through the Son. And you cannot possibly understand Yahushua unless you know where he came from. He did not come through Esau. He did not come through Ishmael. He came through Yaakov. And Yaakov was a Hebrew. The Hebrews were prophesied to go through bondage. The only people that fit this prophecy are those that were placed on ships and sold all over the four corners of this earth for 400 years. Now, you can manipulate history and try to confuse the words, but this fact remains. Every westernized nation on this planet is a world power because of the slave trade. There would not be a United States of America or a Great Britain if it was not for the blood of my ancestors. So when I see people calling on the name of Yahuwah and not accepting Yahushua, or accepting Yahushua and not accepting where he came from, I know there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Because you cannot get to one and leave out the other. Yahushua is a Hebrew of the seed of Yaakov. We are Hebrews of the seed of Yaakov. You can either love it or leave it. This is your will. And this is your judgment. It's your choice. Just remember this fact. Each man is responsible for his and only his choices in life. You can do what's right and listen to those that are trying to help you and not get angry when someone tries to correct a wrong, or you can ignore this correction and continue to err. It's your choice. Just remember this, when the lights are out and that day finally comes, and it will be you and only you standing in front of the Most High, Yahuwah, Ayah, Ayah, then you and only you will answer to him. All right, now, I have a few minutes left, and I'm going to make some statements. Now, next week is the celebration of Ishtar, all right? Understand, our Passover was April 2nd, 2011, and our true Sabbath can be found on my website, which is HebrewsWakeUp.com or HebrewIsraelites.eu. Okay, go to HebrewsWakeUp.com or HebrewIsraelites.eu. Now, I'm working on the calendar, and I'm going to get that calendar out there. But what I want to do is, if somebody wants to raise a question on the chat line, then you can raise the question. And I have a couple minutes so I can answer some questions here. And if nobody has a question, I actually had a story that I want to say. And this story is kind of like there are certain things that are placed in the Word. Oh, the question, will it be downloadable? Yeah, this will be downloadable. And if not, thank you very much. Thank you very much for that comment. If you cannot download this from Blog Talk, I'm going to start building an area to download my stuff. Now, I know I've been a little bit slacking on my site, and the reason why I'm slacking on it is because I'm working on two videos right now. I'm working on one video that actually breaks down the Ashkenazi's claim of their DNA, okay? And they put out this propaganda video that disputes Oscar Kussler's book about the true Jews, and they base it on DNA. And it's just so ridiculous that it's comical when you know what time it is. So I'm just going to put a little bit of spin on this and actually put that out there. It's only going to be like 20, 25-minute video to really explain this, but I'm working on that. And I'm also working on the major video, which is to explain the calendar. One interesting thing is, if you listen to Georgia's show, Georgia did a show last week. I can't remember the name of it, but she did a show, and it was a recording, and this guy was on there talking about the crop circles and how within the crop circles they had a message. And within that message, all of the things that I'm trying to relay to you, he actually speaks about in a way, about the calendars and the numbers. So, and I came across this by accident. I think I told you the story. What happened was, I was doing a math project, and the equation was talking about some remainders, and through this equation, I found out that there was 364 days within a year, not 365, because it doesn't match up. So that started me on that journey, and then I started to discover that it was actually 360 days, and all these numbers started to match, and I was like, wait, hold on now, things have been changed. So I'm going to actually put together this video to explain the root of all this, and hopefully this will get people an understanding on that deception, and then we can start to say, oh, so here's where our days are. Here's where the days are. You know, actually, you know what? I'm not going to read that story because I don't have much time, but I am going to use this time to actually talk about some more stuff. Let me go back to the chat line. Okay. First of all, I want to set out a warning. And in my spirit, I feel that there's a lot of things that are happening on the web. And a lot of things that are happening with different links on my site. And it's kind of subtle. It's kind of like there's different links that don't work anymore. There's ways that videos don't work anymore. There's people that are actually, I'm hearing all these things about people getting their computers hacked by viruses and not being able to log on and stuff. And you know, the thing, here's the deal. We are not going to be confronted directly. Okay? They are not going to kill any of us. If they kill us, then they make us martyrs. If they attack us, then we have an open dialogue. If an open dialogue is developed against these deceivers, they cannot stand in front of the truth. So they have to hide. behind the scenes and tried to destroy us. And this is why I get so upset when we have brothers that actually have networks and organizations already hitting the ground running, and instead of working together, we want to compete. What you competing against? There's only one prize, and that's to be with the Most High. Why are you competing? That makes no sense to me. Anyway, so what I'm seeing is that there seems to be a small chip every now and then. And I criticize this new blog talk. It's the blog talk redesign. I mean, I think it's beautiful. I think it looks really nice and you can add videos to it. But the other way, you know, they eliminate people to actually post things. I mean, the fact that people can just have a free account and post links and communicate, the fact that you can easily download videos and then you can befriend people and or follow them or choose to befriend or follow, a lot of these things are going to be changed because it's going to be more constraining. Now, I don't know the mind of Blog Talk. Maybe they're just trying to create another business plan. If they're trying to create another business plan, cool. But if there is something else behind this, then what we need to do while we can is to communicate with each other. Send me your emails so I can start building up a network. And then when this does go down, we still can communicate through different audio files. I can make audios without Blog Talk. I don't need Blog Talk to make no damn audio files. I can do it on my own. Now, if they take away this form of networking, there are hundreds of them out there on the web. The thing is, they're just not as popular as Blog Talk. But we don't need them to be as popular as Blog Talk, as long as we start communicating with each other now. So collect all the emails you can right now. Start a small network right now. Collect all the numbers you can right now. And every Saturday, okay, every Saturday, I'm going to start holding Hebrew councils. But there's one criteria. You have to be a Hebrew. I'm not trying to eliminate any Caucasians, but look now, this is a Hebrew thing right now. And those that know they are Hebrews of the seed of Yaakov, please contact me, because every week we are going to start calling and we are going to start building up a very powerful network of open-minded, understanding Hebrews. Now, this is going to start blowing on the dry bones. Once we start blowing on those dry bones, once those people start understanding who they are, once enough people start calling on the name of the Most High, He is going to hear from heaven, and He is going to heal our land, because we are the people of the book. You, brothers and sisters, are that special treasure of the Most High. Okay, I'm Dawid Yaakov Maccabeus. I'm going to sign out. Thank you so much to come. Thank you so much for coming. I love y'all so much. I'm going to play a little funny outro, and this is called "Flight to Canada," and this is the brother that actually escaped slavery. And he went to Canada. All right, y'all. Make sure that you contact me by email. Let's have these Hebrew councils. Let's let them grow. Let's ask the Most High to bless us with this. And then we're going to call on the Most High and get those cheating, lying, deceiving Amalekites out of the land of Yaakov. All right, y'all. Peace.
Dear Master Swill, what it was, I have done my Liza leap and am safe in the arms of Canada. So ain't no use of your slave catchers waiting on me at Trailways. I won't be there. I flew in non-stop jumbo jet this AM. Had champagne. Compliments of the captain, who announced that a runaway Negro was on the plane. Passengers came up and shook my hand, and within 10 minutes, I had signed up for 3 anti-slavery lectures. Remind me to get an agent. traveling in style beats craning your neck after the North Star and hiding in the bushes anytime, Massa. Besides, your Negro dogs of Hayes and Allen Stock can't fly. By now, I suppose that yellow Judas Cato done told you that I've snuck back to the plantation 3, maybe 4 times since I left the first time. Last visit, I slept in your bed and sampled your cellar. Had your prime quadroon give me she-bear. Yes, yes. You was away at a slave auction at Ryan's Mart in Charleston, and so I knowed you wouldn't mind. Did you have a nice trip, Master? I borrowed your cotton money to pay for my ticket and to get me started in this place called Saskatchewan. Brr, it's cold up here. But at least nobody is collaring, hobbling, gagging, handcuffing, yoking, chaining, and thumbscrewing you like you're their hobby horse. The mistress, Miss Lady, give me the combination to your safe. Don't blame the feeble old soul, Captain. I told her you needed some more money to shop with, and you sent me from Charleston to get it. Don't worry. Your employees won't miss it, and I accept it as a down payment on my back wages. I must close now, Master. By the time you get this letter, old Sam will have probably took you to the deep six. That was rat poison I left in your old crow. Your boy, Quickskill.